You're listening to Adventures in Jewish History with Rabbi Danny Sachstein.
Good afternoon and welcome to Soul to Soul. It's wonderful to be with you live from our studio here in Johannesburg. And we are going to be looking at some fascinating thoughts that we should be thinking of as Jews. We were very fortunate here in our community in Johannesburg to host an outstanding individual, Rabbi Yeshua Hartman, who was here for Shavuot. And he spoke about his Rebbe, Rav Moshe Shapira. And during that talk, he said what I think is a very beautiful idea and something that's very valuable for all of us to be thinking about and to be trying to implement in our lives. He said that his Rav Moshe Shapira was one of the great rabbis of our generation. He passed away a few months ago in Yerushalayim. I'm a person of great Torah knowledge and very piercing insight and very deep understanding into the principles of the Torah, the philosophies of the Torah, and the function of Jews in this world. Rabbi Shapira has many Talmidim around the world that are making a tremendous impact. Rabbi Akiva Tetz is one of his Talmidim. There are many other Talmidim here in South Africa and all over the world. One of the closest of all of his students, of all of his Talmidim, was Rabbi Yeshua Hartman. Rabbi Hartman's now in London. He runs the Beis Midrash in the Hasmonean School. And he's somebody who was fortunate to get very close to Rabbi Moshe Shapira and to learn for many, many years from him. And he said one of the outstanding attributes of his Rebbe, of Rabbi Moshe, was that he was a person who was constantly growing, constantly renewing himself, and somebody who there was the energy of life and the chidush, the newness of existence, which permeated his being. And although Reb Moshe gave many shiurim weekly, he gave over 30 weekly shiurim, but he said he never ever repeated a shiur. And even if he said a chazal, he said a statement of our sages that he had said before, it was always with a new approach, a new angle, a new application. He was somebody who was renewing and refreshing and constantly growing as a human being in this world. And it's something that runs right at the essence of who we are. Because there's a fascinating Maharal. The Maharal quotes the teaching of the sages who say, Chazal tell us that we are called Adam. Human beings are called Adam because we come from the Adama, from the ground, from the earth. That's how Hashem created us. And therefore we called Adam. But the Maharal asks, he says, we are not the only creatures that come from the earth. Animals also were created. The Pasuk says, Hakol min ha'afar. Everything comes from the ground. And in fact, the animals are more earth than we are because we are made up of two distinct parts. We are made of body and soul, of nefesh, of guf and neshama. We are two different parts that make up this combination and this complex creature called the human being. And although animals also have a soul, they have what we call a nefesh bahamis, which is not as dominant as the human neshama that we have. So they're much more animal than we are. So why are they come much more from the earth than we are? So why are we Adam from the Adama and they're not Adam from the Adama? So the Maharal asks that question and he answers. The Maharal says the reason why we are named after the earth from where we come is because we are supposed to emulate the earth in the lives that we live. The earth constantly yields its produce. Each year, whatever may be planted over there, so the earth produces its produce. And there's a unlimited variety of what could be planted in the earth and what will be produced forth from the earth. And a human being in our lives also need to be productive. We also need to be producing. We also need to be, we have the opportunity to produce in an unlimited way. And that's the difference between a human being, an Adam, and an animal, a behemoth. Because a human being constantly renews and refreshes and recreates and reproduces, so too, like the earth. But an animal is very predictable. An animal's not coming up with newness and with new parts to his personality. You know, you're not going to wake up tomorrow morning and notice a new facet to your puppy's personality. The animal is what it is. And that's why it's called behema, which can be broken up into ba ma. In it is what it is. What you see is what you get. It pretty much describes an animal. Whereas a human being has this infinite potential of a vast and broad range of activity, of personality, of productivity. And that's what we're supposed to be doing, and that's who we're supposed to be in this world. And Rav Hartman said Rav Moshe Shapiro was a classic and a prime example of living that way, of having that freshness and newness constantly as a part of his being. And he said he said there's a famous story said about Rav Tzvi Kushelevsky. Rav Kushelevsky is one of the great Rosh Hashivas of our time. Rav Tzvi Kushelevsky is Rosh Hashiva of Heichal HaTorah. It's a Torah in Hanof. In fact, there are many South African boys that are there right now, including my nephew. It's a wonderful yeshiva. Rav Tzvi is really a unique individual with an incredible understanding and explanation of Torah. His shiur is one of the great shiurim today in the world. And it's well known that Rav Tzvi, the way the yeshivas work is they learn different masechtas, different tractates of Gemara. And each zman, each term, they learn a new tractate. And most of the tractates that they learn come from the Siddurim of Nashim and Nezikim, come from the sections of Mishnah called Nashim, where there are a whole number of masechtas, Kesuvos, Kedushin, Gittin, they all come from Nashim. And there's also a section of Mishnah called Nezikin, which includes the Bavas, Bava Metzia, Bava Basra, Bava Kama, as well as Sanhedrin, a number of other masechtas. So usually mostly the yeshivas are learning those two Siddurim. The Gemaras come out of those two Siddurim of Mishnah. And as well, and it takes about 5 years, 5.5 years for the full cycle to be completed. It's called the Machzor of the masechtas, and then they go back to learning the first masechta again. So it takes 5 years to get through all of the yeshivish masechtas, and usually they're the harder masechtas, because when we've got time to spend many hours over the Gemara and we learn how to learn the harder masechtas, so then that equips us for the rest of our lives to learn all the other masechtas as well. And it's Rav Tzvi, he writes Chidush HaTorah when he learns a masechta, so he writes the novel thoughts of Torah that come to mind, that he thinks about with regards to that masechta. And he writes them down each time he learns the new masechta. And he doesn't look in his notes from 5 years ago when he learns the new masechta. In other words, he withholds from looking at his previous notes, and he learns it up again, and he writes new chidushim. And only when he's finished that masechta, that tractate, does he go back and look at the notes from 5 years ago and from 10 years ago and from 15 years ago. And when he sees those notes, if he notices that his learning this time round was less sophisticated and less nuanced and not as deep as it was 5 or 10 or 15 years ago, so then he gets very upset. He gets depressed. You know, most of us, when we look at our 5 and 10 and 15 years ago, so most of us would, say, wow, that's what I wrote 5 years ago. That's what I wrote 10 years ago. Gee, that's pretty impressive. Rav Tzvi, if he sees that his current learning is on a lower level than previous learning, he gets depressed because he says, what have I been doing? You know, what's happened with my learning? Have I not grown in these last 5 years? And so that's a way he gauges of his development and growth. And that's how we should all see life, is that it's an opportunity for us to produce, to grow, to become greater, to become more noble human beings. And that's what we're doing here. Like the Adama, Adam is supposed to produce and refresh and be new constantly. Please stay with us. We'll be back in a moment.
You're listening to Adventures in Jewish History with Rabbi Danny Sackstein.
We're talking about our infinite capacity to develop and grow as human beings. And we are called Adam because the Adama, the earth, constantly produces a yield and a new yield, whatever it may be planted there. And we likewise need to be the same. We spoke about Rabbi Hartman referring to his Rebbe Moshe Shapira as being an individual who did this throughout his life in a supreme way. And we discussed Rav Tzvi Kushelevsky, the great Rosh Yeshiva in Yerushalayim, who only refers back to his notes from 5 years ago when he's finished learning the new piece. And then he can compare whether he's actually developed and grown from in the past years. There's Rabbi Hartman told one more story about an individual that he was at school with, and he said this person was an average student. He was somebody who, you know, was what he called a Beinuni, both in terms of his kishur, in terms of his mental capacity and his talent, and in terms of his hasmada, in terms of his dedication and hard work. And so, you know, people didn't really think much would come of this guy when he was at school. And fast forward 20 years, Rabbi Hartman said that he saw an article in one of the Frum newspapers that was discussing a person with the same name as this individual, who was the foremost authority in dine mamonos, in monetary matters, in questions of financial dispute. And he was an expert that consulted many batei dinim around the world with regards to complicated questions about property, about ownership, about money, about financial claims. And Rabbi Hartman said, you know, he thought, you know, it can't be the same guy. It must be somebody who's got the same name. And then a few months later, he was at a convention somewhere, and one of the keynote speakers was this individual. And Rabbi Hartman saw him there and realized that, yeah, it was the same guy. And he went over to him and he said, you know, do you remember me? It's nice to see you again after all these years. And he said to him, you know, it's great to see how much you've accomplished, what you've achieved. So this man said, I know what you're thinking, that when I was at school, you know, I didn't do great. I didn't accomplish much. So how is it that I have ended up where I am now? And he said that when he was 17 years old, he woke up one morning and he thought, if I carry on this way, I'll be average and mediocre in everything that I do throughout my life. And so he made a decision to apply himself and to develop as much as he could and to really give 100% at every given task. And he therefore was able to become a person of great Torah knowledge and a real expert in a particular very, very difficult area of halacha. And so that's, we all have that capacity. We all have that potential. We all, like the Adama, like the earth, can yield a broad variety, a large range of products, of produce, and we could all achieve greatness in our lives. And Hashem only wants us to achieve what we can achieve, the maximum for me. Hashem doesn't compare us to others. Hashem compares us to ourselves. And if we're giving 100% and putting our full effort in, so, you know, we've lived according to what's expected of us and fulfilled our potential. But if we settle for second best and we settle for mediocrity, so we're not living up to our essence as an Adam, as a human being in this world. We see that the Torah constantly gives us guides and directs us in terms of where to go and how to achieve this greatness and how to fulfill our human potential. In fact, in this week's Parsha, we see the very end of the Parsha. The main part of the Parsha deals with, Parsha of Shlach Lecha, deals with the Meraglim, with the spies in the land. The spies go in, they search out the land, they're there for 40 days, and they come back with a very negative report, despairing of how, if they enter the land, the people will be destroyed. And obviously that's a tremendous error. It's a big calamity for the Jewish people. And they, for whatever reason, and there are many good and deep reasons why they gave the negative report, what misled them and what their downfall was, which was an absolute disaster for them and for the entire nation. As a result, the decree is set by God that we need to be in the desert for 40 years, and only then could we enter in the land, and only the new generation and not the past generation that despaired and listened to the report of the spies would enter into the land. Now, at the end of the Parsha, the very last paragraph, the Maftir of Parsha Shlach, is the third paragraph of the Shema, is that part of the Torah where we commanded to wear tzitzis. Now, tzitzis, if you're not aware what they are, there's a commandment from the Torah that if one is wearing a four-cornered garment, so on the four corners of that garment, there need to be strings, there need to be tassels, which we call tzitzit, and they're tied in a particular way, and they remind us of the mitzvahs. So as we say, we're supposed to be saying this twice a day, morning and evening. We say the Shema, and the sages said that this paragraph of the Torah is so important that they attached it to the other two paragraphs of the Shema, And therefore, this is now the third paragraph of the Shema. And so God commands us in this paragraph, in these words, in these verses in the Torah. It's Perek Tesvav, starting Pasuk Lamed Zayin. God says that we need to wear tzitzis, we need to wear these tassels on the corners of our garments for the future generations. And Pasuk Lamed Tes says, V'haya lachem letzitzis, and these should be your tzitzis, urisem oiso, you should look at them, usachatem es kol mitzvos Hashem. And by looking at them, we remember all the mitzvahs of God, va'asisem oisam. Not only must we remember them, but remembering them is the first step, and then we do them. Then we fulfill the mitzvahs. And says the verse, v'lo sasur acharei levavchem v'acharei enechem, and do not go after your hearts, do not go after your eyes, asher atem zonim achareim, that lead you astray. But rather, look at the tzitzis, remember the mitzvahs, and continues the Torah. Laman tiskru v'asisim es kol mitzvos sai, in order that you remember and do all of my mitzvahs, v'sem kedoshim l'elokeichem, and you will be holy to Hashem your God. So the tzitzis, very interestingly, have two distinct messages with them, and they are two different messages. They're two extremes that the Torah is telling us about over here. On the one hand, we have the tzitzis that have a tremendous that we look at them and remember all the mitzvahs. Why do you remember all the mitzvahs when we look at them? Says Rashi in Pasuk Lamates, Usachartim is called mitzvahs Hashem. If you look at them, you remember all the mitzvahs. Why? Sheminyan gematria shel tzitzis shesh mayos. Because the gematria, the numerical value of the word tzitzis, is 600. Ushmoina chutim, v'chamisha kasharim harei taryag. And if you add then, if you look at the tzitzis, you'll see the word tzitzis is 600 in gematria, in numerical value. And then if you add the 8 strings that are hanging and the 5 knots, which are above the hanging strings, so 8 and 5 is 13, plus 600 is 613. So this is a quote from Bamid Baraba from the Midrash that says that the tzitzis remind us of all of God's commandments. So on the one hand, you have this great power of this mitzvah. That's not just a single mitzvah, but it reminds us of all the mitzvahs, and it brings us to do all the mitzvahs. That reminder encourages us, inspires us, and motivates us to do all the mitzvahs. Now, the Gemara in Menachos says, Kol hazahir b'mitzvah tzitzis, anybody who's careful in the observance of the mitzvah of tzitzis, zoiche lirois p'nei ha-shchina. So such a person will merit to see the Shchina, will merit to see the divine presence. And so we see Chazal place great emphasis and importance on this holy mitzvah of tzitzis. So on the one hand, you've got the power and the importance of the mitzvah. On the other hand, the other extreme, it says, Olo sasur acharei levavchem acharei nechem. Do not go after, do not be seduced by your hearts and your eyes. Do not let your desires lead you astray. So that is the other aspect of the mitzvah of tzitzis. And Rashi says, what does it mean? Olo sasur acharei levavchem acharei nechem. It says, Kamo mitur haaretz, like just as Los Asuri is like those that toured the land, which is a reference to the spies at the beginning of the parsha. Haleva einaim heim meraglim leguf, that the heart and the eyes, they are the spies of the body. Masar sirim lo es haaveros, and the eyes and the heart, they seduce a person, they entice a person to do averos, to do transgressions. Haayin roe. The eye sees and the heart desires, and the body then carries out those desires and commits those transgressions. That's from the Midrash Tanchuma. So we see that on the one hand, tzitzis are this powerful holy mitzvah that remind us all of all the other mitzvahs. On the other hand, the tzitzis are trying to encourage us not to be seduced by our desires, by what we see and by what we desire. And, you know, it's the only mitzvah that it says that. It doesn't say about learning Torah that it will prevent us from falling astray to our hearts and our eyes. It doesn't say that about mezuzah. It doesn't say that about tefillah or Shabbos. Only tzitzis does it say that by looking at the tzitzis, it should encourage us not to wander after the desires of the heart and the enticement of the eyes. So why tzitzis? Let's try and understand these two extremes that are mentioned with regards to the mitzvah of tzitzis. The great Or HaChaim HaKadosh, who was the great rabbinical leaders of the Jewish world in the 17th century. The Or HaChaim was born in a place called Livorno in Italy, and he led the Jewish community from there. And in the latter years of his life, he went to Eretz Yisrael. He was a Talmud of the Chida, and he was a person of great depth and knowledge, and he was a very big Kabbalist. And his commentary on the Torah is absolutely magnificent and very powerful. So he comments on these words, V'lo sasuru acharei levavchem v'acharei nechem, says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. Peirush, letzad sha'nigla hu dava sha'ayin chafza v'chosh gaboy. That which is revealed, that which is open in the world, that we see. So our eyes are enticed by what we see. They're drawn after the exciting things that we see. And the mitzvahs of Hashem are to not follow what seems to be attractive and enticing to the eyes, but rather to control ourselves and to do what's right on the inside and to see a deeper and bigger picture. And that's what the tzitzis are coming to teach us, is to go beyond the temptation and attraction of the eyes and see a deeper spiritual world, a world of God. And that's why we know that's how we are. That's how we're programmed. That's how God made us all, is that when we see something exciting and we see something, you know, enticing, we certainly are drawn after it. One of the big industries in the world today is shop windows. If you see two shops, one's got a very done-up window with very exciting products, everything looks amazing. And you see a shop which is dust, the window's dusty and it's plain and it's old. So obviously you're going to walk into the shop with the more impressive shop window, because we follow window dressing. That's how we are programmed. And we're drawn after what's on the outside, the superficial looks. And that's why every year there are new models of cars. It's really the same car. Why do they come out with new models? Because they know that when we see the new model with a slightly different curve and a slightly different shape, so we'll be excited by it, and human beings will now want to buy the new, more fancy-looking vehicle. And because that's how we program. We go after the looks. The fashion industry, which is a massive industry in the world, you know, I've got my clothes are fine. They're not worn out. They're very comfortable. They're very practical. But the fashions change, because people go after the looks and people go after the new trends. And the marketers in the world know that they'll sell, if they change the fashion, if they very skillfully manipulate and come out with a new fashion, so the world, people will be drawn after that and people will want to buy those products, and that's how they will sell their products. So marketers in the world know this principle that the Pasuk is telling us about. Do not go after your hearts and your eyes. So we see what we're saying over here, based on the Or HaChaim, and on the Or HaChaim's Perush on this Pasuk, his explanation of these verses, is that the human, the natural human tendency, our human makeup, is that there are two different worlds that exist. There's an external world, a world of chitzonius in Hebrew, a world of physicality, which is really the shell, the clothing, the outer trappings. And then there's a whole nother world. There's an internal world, a world of depth, a world of soul, a world of spirituality, and a world of meaning. And the tzitzis are supposed to remind us of that internal spiritual world. Rashi says that the lashon of tzitzis, the word tzitzis, comes from meitzitz min acharakim, that we peer through the cracks, that we see through the superficiality, and we're able to see beyond and see further. And that's an important skill that we all need to learn as human beings in this world. And unless we're working on it, the default position is that we'll remain living in a superficial and external world, a world of chitzonius, a world of externalities. We have to peer through that world. We have to be meitzitz with the tzitzis. We have to look beyond that world and see that inner world of truth, of spirituality, and of godliness. Halei Shor is a very famous work written by Rav Volbi, one of the great rabbinic leaders of the 20th century. Rav Volbe, who passed away a few years ago, he quotes a letter from the Elter of Kelm. And the Elter of Kelm wrote a letter to one of his students, one of his Talmidim, who had lost a loved one, who had lost somebody who had passed away. And in that letter, he writes, he says, in reality, you should be comforted by the fact that death is just taking off one garment and putting on another garment. The soul lives for eternity, and the body is a garment to the soul. And death is when we shed that garment, and the soul moves on and carries on its journey, and it may put on another garment. That's all that death really is. So that's obviously a high level, but it's a whole different way of looking at the world. Instead of getting trapped into the superficialities and externalities, so we are supposed to see beyond them, and the tzitzis are a sign. They're supposed to remind us of that and give us the ability to look beyond the physical and to see this whole deep inner world of spirituality. Stay with us. We'll be back in a moment.
You're listening to Adventures in Jewish History with Rabbi Danny Sackstein.
We're discussing the importance of the message and the power of the mitzvah of tzitzis. The tzitzis, which are the four tassels, strings that we wear if we have a four-cornered garment. So the Torah commands us, if you're wearing a four-cornered garment, they need to have tzitzis. But we do that anyway. We wear the talis katan, which we call our tzitzis, which is the four-cornered garment under our shirt, under our clothes. Some people wear it on the outside. And that is a very powerful mitzvah. And we discussed how the two extremes that are mentioned in the Torah with regards to tzitzis. On the one, it's a very powerful mitzvah. It's something that is shakel keneged kol tariag mitzvahs. It's weighed up against all the other mitzvahs. It reminds us all of all the mitzvahs and encourages us to fulfill all the mitzvahs. That we said anybody who is careful with tzitzis will see the Shekhinah, will see God's presence. So there's very powerful things said about the mitzvah of tzitzis. On the other hand, tzitzis is the one mitzvah that will lead us to follow the right path and resist the temptations of our hearts and of our eyes. And we're trying to understand why these two important subjects are part of the mitzvah of tzitzis. And we've said that tzitzis are from a lashon of meitzitz, which means to peer, to look. The tzitzis are a sign on the garment that a garment is not a person. That it's just a external trapping. It's just an item of clothing. A person is not what they wear. A person is not their clothing. The clothing just covers what's really important, which is the behind the clothing is the body. The body is also a clothing, and it covers what's inside, which is the neshama, the ikka, the main part of life. The main focus of our world should be the neshama, should be what's on the inside, should be the inner world of soul and of godliness and of spirituality. And we all get lost in the superficialities of life, in the external trappings. And as we mentioned, the world of advertising and of marketing knows that very well and plays on that human failing. And we find ourselves chasing after gadgets and products and items that we think will give us happiness and fulfillment because we sold down the river this false dream. But unless we focus, we learn the lesson of the tzitzis. And we obviously wearing the tzitzis does that. We should be wearing tzitzis, and that reminds us, it's a siman, it's a sign of the deeper aspect of life, that this is just a garment, and the body is just a garment, and the real focus should be that inner spiritual world. The Gemara Menachos says that the Torah says that we should wear tzitzis and have a blue thread. That blue thread comes from a snail called the chilazon. Today we've lost the Masorah, we've lost the tradition of exactly what snail that is. And we therefore don't, generally speaking, we don't wear the blue thread. We just wear white tzitzis. So you see people wearing tzitzis, it's always white. There are some Hasidim that claim, their Rebbe claimed, the Regina Hasidim claim that they have a Masorah, they have a tradition of what that snail is and what that color of dye is. But most of the Gedolim, most of the great Rabbonim in the world disagree with that and say we've lost that tradition and therefore they remain white. But the blue, why was there blue? Says the Gemara Menachos, Techeles Doime L'Yam, that the blue color of that dye was a similar color to the sea. Yam Doime L'Rakia, the sea was a similar color to the sky. Rakia Doime L'Kisei HaKavod, and the sky is similar to the Kisei HaKav. In other words, when we look at the blue of the Techeles, of the Tzitzis, so it should remind us of the sea, which reminds us of the sky, which reminds us of the Kisei HaKav, it reminds us of God, of Hashem. So looking at those Tzitzis should remind us of Hashem, remind us that this is an outer garment, and the body is just a garment to the soul, and that we should focus in our lives on that inner soul world. And that's why the Gemara says that anybody who's zahir b'tzitzis, who's careful with tzitzis, soichel yiros pe ha-shechina, such a person will see the Shechina. Why? Because it's not a reward for the mitzvah. If you do the mitzvah right and properly, so you'll get rewarded and see God's presence, the Shechina. It's actually, the Gemara is telling us that if one fulfills the mitzvah of tzitzis, it's a consequence of tzitzis is to see the Shechina. The result of that is because by fulfilling the mitzvah of tzitzis properly, we learn to see beyond the superficial world. We learn to peel away the layers and see what's on the inside. That's what tzitzit represents. So somebody is careful with tzitzit, in other words, who does that properly, so automatically they'll see the Shechina, because they'll be able to penetrate through the external superficial world, and they will enter into the world of spirituality, into the world of godliness, into the world of truth. And that's very difficult to do in our current world, in modern society, in the year 2017. Because we live in a world of Pierre Cardin and of Louis Vuitton and of Gucci, and our world is very much focused on the externalities and the labels and the clothing. And there's very little emphasis placed on what's inside, on what the true qualities are in the inner world of us human beings. And, you know, we say don't judge a book by its cover. So today we don't even worry about what's inside the book. It's only the cover that's important. It's only the what it looks like. The external view is the main thing. And that's unfortunately incorrect and wrong. And that's why very often we see great tragedy in relationships, in marriages, because the entire basis of the relationship was externality, was chitzonius, was the cover. And very, very little emphasis was placed on the inner world, on the personality, on the character, on the depth of the soul of that human being. And so that's why tzitzis has these two extremes. On the one hand, it represents all of the Torah. On the other hand, it gives us the ability not to be enticed and seduced by our desires and the emotions of the heart and of the eyes. Because tzitzis, by being able to emphasize and internalize this message, we are able to connect to the entire Torah and able to actually push aside the trappings of externality. And that's why our sages tell us, Chazal say, Ein bein gan Eden le Gehenem kechut ha-sara. The difference between Gan Eden, the place of eternity, of internal bliss, and Gehenem, the place of eternal suffering, is a chut ha-sara, is a hair's breadth. Because there's no gray area over here. There's no middle road. Either we see through, we matzit, we connect to the inner spiritual world of our existence, the soul world, or we are in a world of externality, of superficiality, of a shallow world on the outside. And that's our focus. And it's either one or the other. That's why, and there's a fine line between them. So the tzitzis teaches us, break through, pierce that veil, and enter into this world of holiness, into this world of spirituality. Please stay with us. We'll be back in a moment.
You're listening to Adventures in Jewish History with Rabbi Danny Sackstein.
Welcome back. We're discussing this great, powerful mitzvah of tzitzis and the message, the depth, the great opportunity we have by wearing tzitzis and by looking at the tzitzis and remembering the mitzvahs, doing the mitzvahs as the Torah says, because that reminds us that the world is not about the externalities and the physicalities and the material existence, but there's a whole nother plane of existence, a whole nother realm of spirituality which we are supposed to be connecting to. And not getting lost in the diversions and the distractions and the superficialities of life, but rather piercing through matzitz, That's the lashon of tzitzis, piercing through the superficialities and entering into the world of spirituality. There's a very beautiful Sfas Emes. The Sfas Emes on this week's Parsha says an amazing idea. Sfas Emes, with the great Hasidish Rebbe, who's the founding father of the Hasidic dynasty of Gur, of Ger, the Ger Hasidim, one of the largest group of Hasidim in the world. So the Sfas Emes, who was a tremendous genius and a very big Kabbalist, he says the following. He says that the reason why tzitzis is in this week's Parsha, the Parsha of Shlach, which deals with the spies and the negative report that they brought back, is because if you, Rashi says the on the Lashon Velo Satsuru, it's Latur. Latur means to tour, to look. So Velo Satsuru Achrei Levavchem V'Achrei Nechem. Do not tour and go after your hearts and your eyes, which means do not follow those superficial views and drives that you may have based on externality. So says the Sfas Emes, that's exactly, it says with the meraglim, the spies, that they were tur, they went around the land. It's the same word. So it says, because the Sfas Emes says that's exactly what their mistake was. The downfall of the meraglim is they viewed Israel, the land of Israel, in a superficial way. They weren't able to pierce through and penetrate and see the inner depth, but rather they saw it from a superficial point of view. What happened when they went into the land of Israel? So there were many funerals taking place. People were dying. Each town they went to, there was another funeral. So they thought, gee whiz, this place is a rough place to live. You know, nobody can survive over here. Everybody's dying. Well, wherever we go, there are funerals. So that was the superficial response and view of what they saw. The inner view, if they were able to mate it and learn the lesson of tzitzis and see with a deep perspective, a deep eye, they would have realized that that was all part of Hashem's plan to conceal their presence. Hashem wanted to protect them and didn't want the people in the land to notice who are these strangers, what are these guys doing, and they would have been caught. And they, you know, it would have been a big problem for them if they were noticed and they were caught. So Hashem caused people to die, and people were preoccupied with burying their dead, and therefore they didn't notice a bunch of 12 strangers walking around and wandering around their land. And that was actually God's protection of them. So that was the deeper view, to see the bigger picture, to see God's hand, but they were caught up in the world of superficiality, and they weren't able to come to that understanding and conclusion. And that's the superficial world of the Meraglim results in 40 years of wandering in the desert. The deeper view when we attach to the pnimius, to the inner world of truth, so that's when we enter into Eretz Yisrael. That's when we build the Beis HaMikdash. That's when we're living in Yerushalayim. That's what Eretz Yisrael, Beis HaMikdash, Yerushalayim represent. They represent this inner world of spirituality, this inner world of holiness. And that's why it says with tzitzis, uzachartem es mitzvos Hashem, that you remember the mitzvahs of Hashem. We look at the tzitzis because you remember that there's a whole deeper functioning and realm upon which we're supposed to exist in this world. And we're supposed to see that in our lives. We're supposed to see the deeper aspect of events that are taking place in our own personal lives. We're supposed to see the deeper aspect, the deeper view of national events, of world events. We're supposed to see the bigger picture and God's input and God's presence and God's running the world from a personal point of view and from a national point of view. So that's the lesson, that's the message, that's the power of tzitzis. We have to wear the tzitzis and we have to look at them and learn this important and powerful lesson. The mitzvah of tzitzis is for men to wear. The Torah commanded men to wear tzitzis, didn't command ladies to wear tzitzis. And the reason is, it says in the Sfarim, in the Kabbalistic Sfarim, that men need these reminders. Uzchartem, and remember, that a man needs to remember. A woman, on the other hand, is far more connected to the spiritual truth. Once a woman makes those connections, once a woman sees through the external and connects to the spiritual world, a woman remains far loyal and steadfast to those commitments than a man does. We all know that men are easily distracted and easily enticed and easily seduced. Men are flimsy and weak, and therefore they need these external reminders of tefillin, of tzitzis, because otherwise they may stray and stumble. And the Torah, the Sforim say, I'm not making this up to placate our female listeners out there. It's written in Sforim that were written hundreds of years ago. The Sforim write that a woman has that connection. And once she makes that connection, she's far more loyal to it and less likely to stray than a man is. And that's why the Torah gives the men these external reminders. It's like, you know, a kid who's at school and the school wants to send out a notice to the parents that there's a meeting. So what do? They pin the notice to the child's clothing because otherwise it ain't going to get to the parents. So that's what the tzitzis are. Hashem's pinning to us, to our clothing, a reminder that we must see through the superficialities of this world and see a world of pnimius, an inner spiritual world. Whereas the ladies, the little girl, she'll give the notice to her parents. She's more responsible. She's more connected to the messages that are told to her. And so that's why the man needs these external reminders and the woman doesn't. We'll end with this final story, and that is of the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon on his deathbed, he was crying. And his Talmidim came in to say their final goodbyes, and they saw that the Gaon was crying. And one of the Talmidim said, Rebbe, why do you cry? The Vilna Gaon was a very holy person, a person who lived with a very strong connection to truth and to spirituality. He was able to pierce that veil and see the inner world of God and of soul. And so, of course, he knew that death was just removing one outer garment and the journey of the soul continues. And so he wasn't frightened of death, and he knew that he was going to a place of being close to God. So his Talmidim were genuinely concerned. Why was he crying? And he answered, he said, I'm looking at your tzitzis, and I'm thinking just for a few rubles, you put this four-corner garment on and the strings, and they remind you and they remind us of the world of spirituality, and they connect us to God. And we get tremendous spiritual reward for breaking through the superficialities of the world, which is not easy. It takes work. But if we're able to do that, so Hashem will reward us greatly in the world of eternity. Said the Vilna Gaon, to leave a world of such opportunity is very painful and traumatic. A world where we have the opportunity to do this work, and to connect to truth, and to push aside and to filter out the chitzonius, the externalities, such a world is a world of tremendous opportunity and a world that is difficult to leave. So please God, we should all take the great opportunities that this world presents us with. We should all follow in what we named after Adam. We should produce a broad variety of greatness and of spiritual achievement and spiritual productivity. And we should be able to develop the skill and this important ability to learn from the tzitzis, to metzis, to look through the externalities and live in a inner world of godliness and of spirituality. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful day.